We've asked for that. We've proposed amendments to this bill and other bills to achieve that. The School Boards Association has resisted that constantly. If you want a quality program, you evaluate the personnel, you make a management decision. If they're doing the job, you keep them on. If they're not doing the job, you terminate their employment. The School Boards Association is unwilling to commit to that issue. So therefore, they want longer time. And once again, what will happen, in the fifth year, there'll be a hurried up evaluation and some judgment made on that employee. As is now in the end of the second year, there's a hurry up evaluation and some judgment made on that employee. This does not get to the stated goal that Mr. Rose asserted in his testimony. All it does is elongate the time, and we as professionals do not want people in the classroom for a longer period of time if they're not doing their jobs. That's the part, section one and two. Section three. In section three, the loss of tenure is an issue there where we feel that the layoff procedures is at best artificial, at worst cynical, and the fact that you can lay off a teacher for program reasons is made for mischief. If I decide that this teacher is speaking out against a program that I want or don't want, then the program reason is aligned, so therefore I lay off a teacher because of program reason. There's no justification for that. It is vague, it is ambiguous, and it's bone for abuse. The issue regarding the fact that teachers can be laid off for financial reasons is an issue where teachers can, there's no rationale. If the district lost $200, is that a financial reason to lay off teachers? It could be under the vagueness of this language. We think that the process is in place now for non-tenured teachers to be laid off, and if there's a reduction in enrollment, tenured teachers can be laid off presently. The cases in terms of where we go with this is that we need a sound system so that teachers can feel free to teach and to evaluate their students and do the job for which they're hired. They are public employees, and they should be held accountable and not be under the thumb of an administrator simply because they are outspoken, innovative, and willing to take chances in terms of educating their students. The de novo trial issue, section six. Under the de novo trial, presently there, in the last 3 years, there have been 10 Superior Court appeal of a de novo trial. There are approximately 10,000 teachers in the state, and in 3 years we've had 10 appeals to the Superior Court. Four of those appeals, NEA Alaska funded, the others, the individual teacher funded because they felt that they were not justified in their determination. Each of those decisions are decisions that our NEA Alaska board make in terms of whether they were going to be funded or not. And the three that were funded by the NEA Alaska, we prevailed in those cases and the teachers were reinstated. One case in the Kenai, the teacher was reinstated. The Kenai School District is appealing that reinstatement. The case in Wrangell, the teacher was reinstated because the reasons were artificial, contrived. And so the cases that we've taken to the Superior Court and funded by NEA Alaska, those cases we prevailed in because the reasons were artificial and contrived by the board. To assert that you can get an independent, fair hearing at a board level, when the board is one, the employer of the superintendent brings his or her recommendation to the board. For the board to overrule the superintendent's recommendation is a vote of no confidence in that superintendent, and that doesn't happen in the state. I have not been involved, and I've been involved with a lot of cases, I've not been involved with a single case where the school board overruled the superintendent's recommendation. You go through the process, and they assert that that's an administrative hearing procedure. It's artificial. It is not. It is a review of the superintendent's recommendation and a conference of that superintendent's recommendation. Another thing on the de novo trial is presently the de novo trial process is working. The only thing that cannot be altered in that de novo trial is the reasons for which the teacher is alleged to be dismissed. Those reasons are stated. Those reasons are generally very broad, all-encompassing. Everything from the kitchen sink is included in those reasons. And the ability to amend that is not allowed by the Supreme Court. To assert that we introduce new evidence, yes, we do as a defense of the teacher, and the school board does in their support of their allegations. As Mr. Josephson said in Acevedo, the new evidence is what caused Mr. Acevedo to lose his employment. The new evidence that was introduced, and that's what caused that case to be lost by the teacher. So it's a fair hearing. It's the only fair hearing that an employee gets in this process. We need to retain that. If we are to have teachers to state and teach our kids and have some integrity about what they're doing, there has to be at least a fair process for their continued employment. We support the early retirement system. We do not support it as it is contrived in this bill. We support Senate Bill 137. It was interesting to me to hear some of Mr. Rose's testimony. Apparently, he wants to amend this bill even further to require subject area endorsement. I'm somewhat surprised that amendment hasn't come forward thus far, but this bill was amended in judiciary. The amendment in judiciary was, of all things, the repeal of the duty-free lunch. First of all, we don't want to have teachers have a fair hearing, and in addition, we aren't going to give them a duty-free lunch. You go to school in the morning and you don't have a lunch break at all. I don't think there is any level of employment, private or public sector, that isn't provided. Luckily, in the private sector, there is a law that provides that employees who are employed have to have breaks and lunchtime. With the repeal of this section, it's once again a situation where there's no provision at all for a teacher to have a time to eat, to gather their thoughts, and to go back into the classroom to prepare our students. The section where earlier version of the bill, as stated by the sponsor's spokesperson, that was an error in terms of the grandparenting of all current employees, and now the only area that is the only people who will be grandparent are people who are currently employed for the 5-year extension of tenure rights. This bill is an attack on public school teachers. It's an attack on public academic freedom. It's an attack on our teachers who are we're charged with protecting our students, educating our students. We oppose this bill again. And finally, in closing, the issue regarding fairness is the issue that I would like to end with. The question is, are we going to provide a level of fairness for our public school teachers' employment? If this bill passed, the answer is no. The question is, will we attract quality educators to the state in the future? I will assert the answer is no. No one would want to work under these conditions. If this bill passed with the 5-year tenure rights required, it will be one of 4 states in the union that has 5 years for a probationary period. 1 of 4. That's a minority I don't want to be a part of. Thank you very much.
I have just a couple of questions based on things you said. The question of evaluation and supervision, you said that the 5-year tenure provision would stop evaluation and supervision. Is there anything in the bill that prohibits an interim evaluation in that 5-year period? And why do you say the connotation I got was it prohibits evaluation and supervision for this 5-year period? And that I didn't read that in the bill. What am I missing?
No, what I said, sir, was that at the present time, the evaluation takes place when the administrators realize that they have to make a decision about the concurrence of tenure on teachers. That happens at the end of the 2nd year now. If you stretch it out to 5 years, it will happen at the end of the 5th year instead of the 2nd year. And that will elongate the time when people are in the classroom, maybe inappropriately. And the issue of saying that We have proposed an amendment that required two evaluations per year, and we even suggested, as Senator Sharp and Senator Salo and Senator Rieger from Hess last year can attest to, allow for a third year if the evaluations are taking place and there's a need for a third year for probation. This does not require any evaluation. It simply says we want 5 years for non-tenured status for teachers. There's no provision at all for evaluation. There is an administrative reg that requires evaluation. That administrative reg is universally ignored by the school districts around the state.
So it would be an improvement if we just put in even a requirement for an evaluation during the third year, for example.
First year, I would suggest. First, second year. Our interest is to have people in the classroom who are doing the job of teaching our students. It's not our interest to have people in the classroom who are not doing their jobs. And in spite of some of the protestation that Mr. Rose would put forward, it's our interest to have quality people in the classroom. We are charged with protecting incompetence. What we do is we protect people's due process rights.
Another question that came out of your testimony, you seem to imply that a layoff for program change was almost, you know, it could be virtually unlimited. And I was trying to read that section through, and it looked to me like the requirements are cumulative, that none of the things that happen in 1 through A1 or 2 happen unless the initial test is met, and that is it's necessary for the district to reduce the number of teachers. So unless they're reducing the number of teachers, they can't use the other provisions. Am I wrong on the way I read that, or is that the way that reads?
That's the way I read it as well, sir, but the question is there a reduction, a permanent reduction, or a reduction for 1 year?
Mm-hmm. I understand your question, but it does at least, I mean, there is a gate which says that the number of teachers has to be going down before they can make those reductions for program reasons. They couldn't go in and take somebody out of a program.
I concur with that reading of the bill as it's written. The question I would have, sir, is that If you read it, the bill literally the way you have read it, and I think that's probably the appropriate way to read it, if a school district decided that for one reason or another they did not want to retain a counseling program in the high school or the elementary school, do you see that this bill prohibits them from reducing 10 counselors in the schools by program reasons and not replacing them, say, with 10 math teachers or English teachers? I don't think that's the intent that's in this bill, based on the conversation I've had with Mr. Rose.
Yeah, the third question I had is on the, you know, on the issue of trial de novo or trial on the record or however you want to characterize those things. Is there any kind of a middle ground that accelerates the process, combines it in any way? I mean, you know, former Senator Josephson talked about arbitration. Is there another alternative that guarantees a speedier process that NEA would come forward with as an alternative to repealing the trial de novo provisions? And you don't need to answer that right now, but that's something that I think is, I mean, I'd like to see something that is an alternative proposal, because I think there's arguments on both sides that have carried some weight in the past, certainly.
And this, I can answer it in part at this point. We have proposed on the House side of this similar bill, an alternative to this that will expedite the process. The superintendent from Fairbanks proposed in Senate Hess, instead of going to the school board level, go directly to the Superior Court. I think the school board member from Fairbanks also concurred with that. That would expedite the process. I think there are a number of ways that you can expedite the process. The question, though, is we have to have an independent party making that decision.
Questions by members of the committee? Senator Rieger?
I'm not sure if you're the right person to answer this, but is there in the statutes a definition of teacher, how far that employee classification goes?
A teacher is a person who works in the classroom a counselor, or administrative principal. It includes from teacher, a classroom teacher, to counselor, to a principal. The general definition.
And assistant principals and all that.
So. Yes.
I've just. Are you done, sir?
Yes.
Yeah. I just got a copy of a provision from, what is it, House Bill 217. Is that the, this provision says, judicial review, if a school board reaches a decision unfavorable to a teacher, the teacher is entitled to mandatory advisory arbitration conducted by a neutral third party, and if the decision of the school board remains unfavorable to the teacher, to judicial review based on the record. Is that somewhere in the middle of the question?
Yes, it is.
Thank you. Questions by members of the committee? Senator Jarrow.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one question here. I think you brought it up, and that would be under the layoff procedures, and we were talking about revenue. Is there a, I guess there's nothing in the bill that addresses, you know, how much a school district should lose before, in terms of revenue, before they start a layoff procedure, or in terms of attendance. I mean, if they could drop two or three students from enrollment last year and then remove two or three teachers, I would guess. I mean, is that...
And under the current law, there are a number of court cases that sort of define what... I think the actual statute statement is that student enrollment reduction that necessitate a non-retention for a teacher that is necessitated by an enrollment reduction or loss. So... And the courts have defined that over time. The Rangel case is one case that where the courts have defined what constitutes a necessary reduction in student population. And so there is case law on that. It isn't. It is more than one student, and it has to be justified by the number of students. I think the threshold is minimally in a small school district, 10 students. In some of the larger school districts, there are other numbers. The courts have defined that around the state on that issue.
So then that's almost tied to the educational unit then?
Yes.
Would that hold true also then to the revenue picture?
There's no court case on the revenue picture. That's new information. We previously on other bills have made recommendations of what is called the financial exigency. That is a defined reason for a loss of revenue. It's validated by an independent audit, and then you have ability to lay off teachers. We've done that on previous bills that have been before this body or the other body.
Thank you.
Further questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Do we still have Dave Dow around? Okay, let's see. Is it Deborah Garish?
Hello, I'm Deborah Garish, and I'm a parent here in the Juneau School District, and I have a couple of comments about the particular bill. I'm in favor of the tenure part of the bill. I'm watching my school district go through the budgeting process this year. It became very apparent that they need some more tools that they could use, some flexibility in figuring out the budget, and this would be one thing that would allow them to work with that. I'm in favor of the early retirement, but I think maybe it would make more sense to put the early retirement part of this bill into the other bill that also deals with early retirement. Because it seems like there's a lot of things that are in this bill that have just been all thrown together in one great pile, and it doesn't make a lot of sense to me. One of the things that I've heard over and over, I happen to be the vice president of my daughter's school, and I'm also go to another school where my other daughter is, and the parents get really frustrated because they don't know what's going on in negotiations, and they go, how are we supposed to do anything? We don't know what's going on. We don't know how to put our input in. So I think that if it was not this mutually agreed upon being open and actually being open, it would be much better for parents in general. And they would feel better about the whole process. And there are two things in here that I would definitely, if I could be in your place and I could throw it out, okay? Let's put it that way. I've been around at lunchtime at my daughter's elementary school. And let me tell you, the teachers need that lunchtime. It's crazy. You know, you've got 27, 29 kids. You need a half an hour just to collect your wits and have a couple of minutes of quiet time. It's really important to have it. The other thing was that I would continue to have the teachers have their hearing process the way it is currently. I would not take it away from them. So that's what I would leave in here, and that's what I would take out.
Question on the public negotiations. Because I can understand the frustration of not knowing what's going on. But I'm also concerned about the posturing that goes on, that the things that happen that push people further apart because they take a position, that may be a popular position. Compromise is not popular. And often the first person to offer a compromise is strongly criticized by both sides. And, you know, that's an area, again, where I think if you require the entire process to be in the open, you know, just totally public, I don't think you get real negotiation. So you force it to go underground in some unofficial way. And
I can see where you're coming from, but I can see the other side of the coin where you've got people that are just got steam coming out of their ears. They're so angry because they're not the part of the process, and they want to be a part of the process. And, you know, for myself, I come up here a lot, and, you know, I am part of the process. But when it comes to the negotiations process, parents just feel really left out, but they can't do anything. And it's just something that's been repeated over and over, both at the elementary school and at the high school level.
Yeah, I wonder if requiring, you know, certain stages of offers to be public or something else might provide the inclusion that the real parties to education want to have without hampering the ability to offer compromises.
I think the thing that came up, it was real interesting at the high school, actually, because when the parents actually talked to each other, they actually had some ideas and some solutions that they threw out on the table, and yet they had nowhere to go with them. Mm-hmm. And so that they had a place that they could actually go with some of their solutions for some of the problems that they saw, that would help.
Yeah. Questions by members of the committee, Senator Sharp, and then Senator Phillips.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My understanding on the lunch period thing, it sort of sounds trivial to a lot of people, but I think it's one of the few areas where state mandates specifically what time you have to allow the lunch period for your employees. Mm-hmm. I don't think it's a situation that there's not going to be a lunch period. I just think that in case you got staggered school terms because of overcrowdedness, it's very difficult to fit a lunch period for students or for teachers between 11 and 1 or whatever that is. So, see, statutorily, that is mandated. That's the window for lunch, no matter when you start or when you quit in the day. And that's the part. I think state law requires a lunch break after 4 hours or something like that. I'm not sure, but and I think this is more or less a labor law that would apply. But I think that's the problem, because it's defined and the work schedule might not fit that.
I could see where if you went to split scheduling, you would need to change the time, and maybe that's what you need to take out. Maybe you need to say, yes, we're going to have a lunch break, and this is how much time you're going to get, but it might not be in this time frame.
Senator Phillips.
This is on the RIT program. I just want to bounce this off on you. Page 7.
I was probably back there with my headache because I've been here since 1 o'clock. Go ahead. Go ahead.
Anyway, this bill provides to retire from the university and go back to the contract.
I say no. I think if they get out of the program, then they're out of the program. I think the reason for having the RIP program is because what we've run into in our school district is we have all these teachers that are up at the upper end of the scale, and we're saying, okay, well, if some of them would leave, then we could hire two teachers down here for X amount of teachers that leave. And that is one of the things that we really need in our school district, because Juneau is up against the cap, and we have no other ways to go right now. Yeah.
Okay, I just wanted to get your... I haven't seen you here before, so you're a friend today. You seem like a real person. The outside world comes.
Thank you very much for your testimony. Do we still have John Sear? Okay, then I have someone signed up, and their name is NEA Alaska. That's a strange first name, but they didn't put a first name. Is there somebody else on? Okay, Claudia.
Thank you. My name is Claudia Douglas. I'm president of NEA Alaska. I will really try to keep my comments brief because I hear bells ringing. So do you. This bill truly reminds me of the story of the Emperor's New Clothes, and I don't care how many more words or amendments or whatever added to this. The naked truth is that this is a bill that, in some way or another, is repulsive to teachers in a lot of different ways. And I know that there are some sections here that we might need to work on, and I'm not going to go through the bill. I mean, we've had, you've heard a lot of testimony about this. But I will say again, NEA Alaska has a commitment to try to help in terms of strengthening the tenure law for both school districts, administrators, parents, and of coming up with some solutions to make it better. Just simply increasing the years from 2 to 5 years is not going to do that without some sort of evaluation system that's put in place. The whole layoff provision is very vague, and, you know, I appreciate Senator Helfrich, your comments regarding about the program area needs. I mean, I think that is really, I mean, it doesn't really say if you want to reduce the number of teachers because of decrease in school attendance or school district revenue or to better meet the needs. So, I mean, it almost is, it could be an either-or situation. So I think there's a lot of sort of areas there for misrepresentation and misunderstanding. In terms of the open contracts negotiation, I think that this, by mandating it, again, it would violate that concept of local control. I've been in a situation in bargaining in Fairbanks where we've had it both ways. And I'll tell you, what happens really fast is people get really bored with coming to the, I mean, and then you just have people that are sitting there almost falling asleep, and maybe a media person might show up once in a while. And I guess I'd have to say, I think that's the school board's responsibility. They're elected. They're public members of the school board. They should be somehow giving some avenue of communication to their public if that's what's needed. And the only other thing, I mean, talk about, you know, adding insult to injury, taking away the lunch free or the duty free lunch. In Fairbanks, there currently is a school, I think it's Tanana, that has a waiver for this. It's something that you can do in a school district. And I guess I would suggest, if we need to add that to the state law, to say that there's an option for a waiver if you want to exchange that time, but not to take away the 30-minute duty-free lunch. This bill is an extraordinary example of the way not to make new or public policy. I urge you to vote against this bill. And again, I'd say that we are willing and we want to help make tenure better. We want to make the profession better. But not this way. Please don't vote for this bill. Thank you.
Questions by members of the committee? If we don't have any questions, let's see. Okay. Sheila Peterson from the department.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, my name is Sheila Peterson, and I'm Special Assistant to the Commissioner of Education. This legislation contains many provisions that dramatically affect the education community. Many issues that are at the heart of the teaching staff: tenure, layoffs provisions, duty-free lunch, retirement incentive program. These are all addressed in this legislation. All these issues are important and certainly need to be discussed. The new State Board of Education, at its recent meeting, at the request of the House HES Committee, did discuss most of these issues, provided a lot of dialogue, a lot of discussion. But as a board, they could not come up with a consensus regarding these issues. At the present time, the State Board of Education's paramount concern is full funding for education. At the $61,000 unit value, and with the additional monies to meet the projected school enrollment. There are many exciting things that are happening in education. Parents and teachers are working together new programs are being developed, new ground is being broken. Full funding of the foundation program will go a long way to provide quality education for our students. And this is what the State Board of Education would like you to consider during this legislative session. If you have any questions, I'd be very happy to answer.
Questions by members of the committee? If not, we thank you very much.
Thank you.
We're going to break for session and come back to this legislation tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. And I see a number of amendments floating around that have been proposed or have been drafted. Some of them I intend to support, and I expect there'll be a lot of consideration. So we'll come back to this legislation and go on with the bill schedule tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock.
Here tomorrow.
We're adjourned for the day.
Maybe you can move.
Well, we're not adjourned.
Two.
We may be recessed if the co-chair on the operating budget wants to do closeouts after the session if we're done at a reasonable time.
Vernon can explain it to you.